Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prema Gahova Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokopinath Shyamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Maya Purnavidam Ki Jai. Gangamaya Ki Jai. Jamunamaya Ki Jai. Dosa Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Ki Jai. Transcendental Distribution Ki Jai. Harinama Sankirtan Ki Jai. Gopinath. All glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Guru. Om Jnanata Manandasya Jnanantana Salakaya Chakshram Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Mukham Kuru Divatalam Pangvandam Vete Gurim Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Shigurum Linatarnam, Avancha Kapa Tibhyascha, Kripa Sandhu Devacha, Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda, Shri Advaita Gadara, Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Ram, Hare Ram. I'd like to welcome everyone. It's the second day. Maybe some people can come over here. We have a large empty area over here. Maybe balance it out. So this is the second day of our seminars here in Sydney, Australia. Today we're going to discuss about the proper consciousness on book distribution. Actually, about 95% of our ability to distribute books is in our consciousness. So it's very important that we have good sadhana, because good sadhana is what elevates our consciousness. And if we have bad sadhana, then this is what degrades our consciousness. It's not easy to have elevated consciousness in Kali Yuga. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can develop high consciousness. What does this mean, to have high consciousness or proper consciousness? It means to be Krishna conscious. This is the proper consciousness, to be conscious of Krishna with a desire to please Krishna. Can we turn this the fans down just a little bit? A little bit too noisy. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's good. It stated, Katanchana smrte yasmin duskuram sukuram bhavat Sri Chaitanya. Katanchana smrte yasmin duskuram sukuram bhavat Vishmate viparitam Sri Chaitanya namamitam. That if one remembers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then very difficult things become very easy. And if one forgets Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then very easy things become very difficult. So our Krishna consciousness is very important. If we're thinking of Krishna, and we're thinking also of how to help the conditioned souls, this is very auspicious. Just like when we approach people, we shouldn't be so much conscious of the body, the covering, the facade, but more conscious of the soul within the body. There's a kshetra, there's a kshetra gya, and there's the paramatma, who is also the kshetra gya, knower of the soul. So there's the body, the kshetra, the field, Kurukshetra, the field of the Kurus. So this body is like, it's a field of activities. And the soul within is the kshetra gya, knower. of this field. But most of them don't know that they're different from the field. Everybody is thinking that they are the field. See, people think that they're the car, they get a nice car and they're driving down the street and they're appreciating how people are admiring their beautiful car. They very much identify with the car. But actually they're the soul within. And when we go on book distribution, we should try to be conscious that we're actually having an exchange with the soul, not so much with the body. The more we forget the body and are aware of the soul, the more our elevation, our consciousness is elevated. And especially the more we're conscious of the super soul within. The conditioned soul has been traveling around in this universe for so long. Not only this universe, many universes. And now somehow this soul has come in contact with a devotee who has a book about Krishna. So this moment that we... Okay, if anybody's cell phone goes off during the lecture, the fine is you have to go out and you have to sell a Bhagavad Gita. Please turn off your cell phone. It's a nice curse, you know, it's a nice... You have to go sell a Bhagavad Gita. Do it tomorrow, you can do it tomorrow. So, yeah, we have to try to meditate on how we're approaching the soul and the super soul. And the super soul is so pleased by this activity of approaching people and trying to give them Krishna consciousness. Very pleased. So this moment that we approach people to give them Srila Prabhupada's books, this is the most important moment of their life. Throughout their life, they're doing so much sense gratification, making plans to do this and to do that. But when a devotee approaches them to give them a book, this can actually change their whole life. It's the only thing, actually, that can change their karma, is coming in contact with Krishna. Everybody has a certain amount of karmic reactions coming to them due to so much sinful activity. So the only thing they can counteract that is that they come in contact with Krishna. Then they get purified. They get a chance to hear the holy name of Krishna. Prabhupada said that they just touch a book and they've come so much closer to Krishna just by touching the book. So it's very important that we make arrangements in our life so that we can advance in Krishna consciousness so that when we go out to give them this transcendental knowledge, people will reciprocate. If we go out on book distribution and we have a low consciousness, you know, just, you know, absorbed in the body and absorbed in the results and just not thinking of Krishna, then people have like a sixth sense. You know, they feel the energy. And if we're Krishna conscious, then they also feel this energy. There's something special about this person. But if we're just conscious of the body, then we're like all the other people out there. Conscious of the body. So, Srila Prabhupada has very kindly given us this transcendental literature to help us become elevated in the absolute truth. And this is what will help the people, the world, just Krishna consciousness. So we have to pray very fervently, very sincerely to Krishna to help us, nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin, to be instruments in his hands. Either we're going to be instruments in the hands of Krishna, or we're going to be instruments in the hands of Maya. We want to be puppets in the hands of Krishna. So the more we're Krishna conscious, the more Krishna he wants to reciprocate with us. There's actually a very, very nice statement in one purport. Srila Prabhupada, he says that Krishna, upon seeing the sincere endeavor of his devotee to spread Krishna consciousness, enlightens the people from within to take books. Many times I've found that people that I've distributed books to, they say, you know, normally I don't go this way. Usually I go another direction. And even while I was walking this way, I was thinking, why am I going this way? And now, having met you and gotten this book, now I know why I came this way. So even the karmic non-devotees, you know, even they understand that something's happening here. You know? Or sometimes I'm distributing books to people and they get a book from me. And they're coming from this direction. They get a book from me. And then they go back the same direction. And generally when someone's walking this way, they continue going that way, right? They came, got the book, and just went back the same way. So Krishna he's the master of all mystics. And this activity of book distribution, it's a very mysterious, mystical activity. Amazing things happen on book distribution. Wonderful. I mean, what's most attractive about book distribution that I've found is you really feel the reciprocation of Krishna. If you're really sincerely trying to help the conditioned souls and please Krishna, then it's so amazing how many nice people come and they take books, and it's just so smooth and it's so nice, and you're just like floating on a transcendental cloud. You know, it's just so nice. But then sometimes you might be in a little bad consciousness, and no one takes a book, and no one has money, and sometimes feel a little rude, you know, and then you feel, oh, there's, you know, now this side's coming, you know, because we're not, so Krishna's reciprocating. You know, we're in good consciousness, then Krishna reciprocates. Our consciousness is a little bit under the weather, then Krishna, he reciprocates. But Krishna, he's very much interested in people coming closer to him. This is actually very pleasing to Krishna. And it's pleasing to the soul. And if we're not connected to Krishna, then people are suffering. This is the only reason, actually, that people suffer. Because they're not Krishna conscious. For instance, there's so many devotees that had cancer. One of the most painful experiences a person could have. But these devotees, so many of these devotees, they've said, oh, couldn't get better than this. Because they're just hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's name. They transcend the body. So a devotee, he wants people to be happy. He wants them to be free of this suffering. Therefore, one great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, he says, Naivod Vijay Paradaratya Vaitranyas Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta So Chetato Vimukuchetas Indriyada Maya Sukhayam Paramudhuto Vimudhan. He says, I have no fear of this material existence. Because wherever I go, I'm fully absorbed in hearing the glories of Krishna. So, what anxiety is there for me? No anxiety. But there is one anxiety, and that is for all the unfortunate souls in this world who are making elaborate plans to try to enjoy this Maya Sukhaya. Who knows what Maya Sukhaya means?
Painful. Sukha means pleasure of Maya.
Yeah, illusory. Maya Sukhaya. Illusory pleasure. There's no real pleasure there. But they think there's pleasure there. And therefore they're going full speed to try to get some pleasure there. But no. This world is known as Dukhalyam Ashashvatam. There's no pleasure here. The pleasure of the soul is in devotional service. So the more we're able to understand this, the more we'll try to help people come out of this Maya Sukhaya, and they'll reach real happiness, ananda, bliss, real happiness. This is the happiness of the soul. So this proper consciousness on Sankirtan is very important. And it begins not the day that you go out, it begins the night before. There's a saying, early to bed, early to rise.
Makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yes, makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. And J.P. Getty, he said, you want to become rich? Rise early, work hard, strike oil. But we say, you want to be successful in Krishna consciousness? Rise early, work hard, serve Krishna. Try to please Krishna. So, very important. So, the night before, you decide you're going to take rest early, get up early, chant your rounds. Prabhupada said that if you want to be successful on book distribution, then chant your 16 rounds uninterrupted. And he said the best time to chant your rounds is before Mangal Arati. That's really getting up early. But even if you get up, let's say you chant a few rounds before Mangal Arati and then you chant all the rest of your rounds after Mangal Arati, that's still uninterrupted because Mangal Arati is also chanting. So that's okay. But if you chant your rounds after breakfast, then the quality goes down. Because, you know, we have this Brahma Muhurta, this period, it's like 2 hour period before the sun rises, very auspicious time. And as soon as the sun rises, then so many things to do, you know, the mode of passion kind of kicks in, you know. Spiritual things are a little more difficult. So then chant one's rounds very attentively. Bhakti Tirtha Swami gave us this nice secret on how to chant good rounds. When he would chant, he found that he was inattentive, he would back up on a few beads and then he'd go forward again. Because the mind, you might have noticed, it's a little flickering, you know, it's going here, it's going there, thinking of so many things. Stop it, please stop it, think of Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is very good training for the mind. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once said that the mind is a non-devotee. It's a karmi. It's a rascal. It doesn't want to think of Krishna. It wants to engage in sense gratification. Drink break. So, now the mind is in the bhakta program. We're trying to turn the mind into a bhakta. So we got to train it. Just like someone joins the bhakta program, there's got to be training. There's a senior devotee who's training the bhakta on how to engage in devotional service. So the mind has to be trained by the higher intelligence. So we have to make the intelligence very sharp so that it can guide the mind properly. If the intelligence is weak, then how will the mind become elevated to higher consciousness? How is it possible? So the intelligence is nurtured by hearing. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing from the pure devotee. This nourishes the intelligence. And then the mind takes guidance from this higher intelligence. So the mind, it doesn't want to think of Krishna. So the intelligence has to also preach to the mind a little bit. Alright, listen, I know you don't want to think of Krishna, but this is the new program. If you don't hear the name of Krishna, then we're going to back up and we're going to chant more Krishna. So if you don't want to chant more Krishna, then just be attentive. Alright. The mind surrenders. So it's very good. We have to train the mind. This process of bhakti yoga means purifying the mind, purifying the senses, engaging the mind. The mind is the center. of the senses, the power of attorney, right? So you have to purify it. And then there's the opportunity to have higher consciousness. Because when you go on book distribution, also it's, you know, it's, the mind is like saying, oh, this is too difficult, you know, this is, you know, people aren't interested, you know, I'm new at this, and I can't stop people. The mind comes up with so many excuses. And therefore, we have to be very strong spiritually to defeat the mind, to continue on. Utsaha nishtiyad dharyat tat tat karma pavartana. In the Upadeshamrita, I think, Upadeshamrita. That this is so important that we be enthusiastic. Prabhupada said, even if you're not enthusiastic, just act enthusiastic and you'll become enthusiastic. So this enthusiasm is very important. If we're enthusiastic, then people, they see that enthusiasm and they want to reciprocate. They see the joy, they see the enthusiasm. Yeah, all right, yeah, I'll take a book, I'll give a donation. Even in the karmic world, they have a saying that it's not the product that you're selling, but it's yourself. You're giving yourself. And that's who they're buying. They're buying your enthusiasm, your determination, your confidence. They see that, and they go, oh, this book must have something valuable in it. Because this person's like this, he's so nice. So there must be something in here. So that enthusiasm is something that we also have to pray for. And how do you get enthusiasm? One of the most important ways is you get it from other people, other devotees that are enthusiastic. Some devotees are very enthusiastic to engage in devotional service. And some aren't so enthusiastic. So you associate with those that are very enthusiastic, and that enthusiasm rubs off onto you. So to be enthusiastic, utsaha nishtiya dharya, to be confident that this is valuable knowledge, which is necessary in society. We had to be very confident because, you know, people out there, they're, you know, sharp businessmen, you know, successful businessmen, and look like they're okay. Appears to be okay. So if we're not strong spiritually, we might start thinking, well, looks like he's doing better than me, you know. But no. We don't know what their future is. And on book distribution, there's so many amazing things happen. It's actually a great adventure, book distribution. You never know where books are going to end up and what circumstances there's going to be. I remember I was distributing books one time in New Zealand, maybe 10 years ago. And myself and one bhakta went to this one apartment. And we knocked on the door. The person opened the door and he saw us. And he said, here, wait one second. I have something for you. And we thought maybe there were Mormons that are going to give us the Book of Mormon or, you know, some type of Christian. So then he came back and he was handing me a Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. So I understood that he had it for some time. He didn't want to read it. So I thought, no, you didn't. I told him, you haven't read it yet, but you never know when you're going to pick it up and read it. So just put it in your bookshelf. It's very patient. It'll wait for you. Books are patient. So he said, no. You know, I've had this book for years. I'm not going to read it. You take it. Give it to somebody that's maybe interested. So I tried to convince him to take it. He was adamant. He wanted to return it. So I said, all right. So we were leaving that apartment, and just as we were leaving it, a car pulls up in the driveway. So I thought, well, maybe this person will be interested. So he stopped, opened the door, and I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and told him, yeah, we just asked for a donation for it. He said, yeah, this looks very interesting. I would like to have it. But I don't have any money on me. I'll have to go into the apartment and get some money. So he walked into the same apartment that we had just been in. He's holding the same Bhagavad Gita that came out of the apartment. So he's going back into the same apartment, the Bhagavad Gita. And my friend, this Bhakta, Luke, we were praying to Krishna, please, Krishna, don't let his friends see him with his Bhagavad Gita, because he's definitely going to come, talk him out of taking it, because it's been in there for years, and now it's going back in again. So about a minute later, he came back and gave a donation, and we left very quickly. Can you imagine the look on that person's face when he saw the Bhagavad Gita in there again? Yes. The moral of the story is, if Krishna doesn't want to leave, he doesn't leave. And there was I was speaking to one nice person in Chaupati. He said that he had grown up in Estonia, and he was engaged in many sinful activities before coming to Krishna consciousness. So when he was about 20, he decided to leave the country and just go traveling, give up his past and just go traveling. And as he was traveling, he got like on a spiritual search. So generally when people go on spiritual searches, they end up in India. Happens a lot. The Journey Home, Radha Swami, wonderful book. So he goes to India, he's traveling around, somehow he gets one of Prabhupada's books, and he ends up living at the Chaupati temple. And he had been gone from home for about 2 or 3 years. So he decided to call his mother and let her know what his life is up to, you know, what he's been doing. So he called her up, he's talking to her for a while. And he said, oh, by the way, I'm a monk now. And she couldn't believe it. She said, you're a monk? She was shocked. Yeah, believe it or not, I'm a monk now. I've been a monk now for 2 years. And she said, well, what kind of monk are you? He said, I'm a Hare Krishna monk. And she said, well, Hare Bol. He said, how do you know Hare Bol? She said, well, I'm a devotee also. She said, shortly after you left, one devotee came to my door and he sold me a Bhagavad Gita. And I read it and it made sense, so I'm an initiated devotee now. And he was still a bhakta. So he thought he would surprise her, and she surprised him. Yeah.
I met a family, three devotees, they all joined differently. Not like, you know, they didn't know. The three of them joined, and when they came back, they realized they were all like Krishna. Nobody joined because of his brother or something like that. They all joined completely
separately, not knowing that anybody was a devotee.
Two brothers and a sister or something like that.
Wow.
They got together and everybody was a devotee.
Yeah. Krishna works in amazing ways, you know, mysterious ways. That's far out. So many amazing things. We just have to get the books out there. And then Krishna takes control. Get the books out there as much as we can. Because these books, they're not just books. These are actually deities. Because there was one instance where the traveling Sankirtan team, they wrote Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we're thinking of installing deities in our Sankirtan vehicle. Prabhupada said, not necessary. You worship the books. Because this is absolute. This knowledge in the books that we're distributing is not different than Krishna. So we're giving them Krishna when we go out and distribute books. And according to the person may not be interested, and he gives it to a friend. This happens so many times. Must happen hundreds and hundreds of times. They get a book for a friend, and then they take it. Or sometimes the book sits there. Very common. Books sit there for 20 years sometimes. And then finally they pick it up and they read it. So Like there's one instance of a man, he, businessman, successful businessman. He was having some difficulty with his family. His wife was giving him difficulties, and his children, and there was no peace. There was no peace in his life. So he was very frustrated. So he was becoming to such a level of anxiety that he started drinking. And eventually he became an alcoholic. So he was sitting in his apartment, and he was just thinking, I can't handle this anymore. So he decided to commit suicide. So he had this poison. So then he was thinking, oh, this is it. This is it. The last day of my life. But then he just happened to glance up, and he saw the Bhagavad Gita in his bookcase. And he looked at it and thought, hey, maybe there's something there. So he took it down, and he said, just by reading the first paragraph of the introduction, he felt so much relief. First paragraph. He kept reading. And he said he read it for 5 days. In 5 days. He just read the whole book in 5 days. Maybe he'd eat a little bit, sleep a little bit, and read Bhagavad Gita. That was it. And he said that when he finished reading the Bhagavad Gita, he had never been so happy in his life. So he reads the Bhagavad Gita every day. So this is the power of these books. They save people's lives. Very powerful. Not only their spiritual lives, but their material lives. You know, committing suicide. So many examples of devotees that were on the verge of committing suicide. Somehow they got a book. By the mercy of some devotees. So this is what is needed in society. So much. Nothing more is needed. And this is why the acharyas, they express this so much. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told Srila Prabhupada, if you get money, print books. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was one temple in India where he had the printing press in the temple room, because he knew that this printing press would give pleasure to Krishna to hear the words of the Vedas being printed with the intention of them being distributed. So this is the mood of the acharyas. So we're trying to be followers of the acharyas, Prabhupada Nugas, followers of the acharya. So this is the main consciousness, the main desire of the pure devotees, is to help the conditioned souls by helping them get closer to Krishna. Another time I was distributing books in the Miami airport, and one man and woman with their daughter was coming through the airport, and I approached them, and the lady was very interested in the book, but the man, he wasn't interested at all. So she asked him, please, can you buy this book for me? I want to read this book. And he said, no, come on, you're not going to read it. She said, no, I really want to read this book. And he said, no, come on, we're going to miss the flight, let's go. So she became very angry, and she just walked away very quickly. And he was just left there with the daughter. And the 10-year-old girl, she looked up at her father, and she says, Daddy, I hate you. Pretty heavy thing for a daughter to say to her father, yeah. So then, you know, can imagine how he felt bad then, you know. First the wife walked off and the daughter says this to him. So he reached into his pocket and he pulled out $10 and he handed it to me. And then the little girl, she grabbed the book from me and she ran down the airport. Mommy, I got the book, you know. I hope that didn't break up the marriage.
I knew I was married to Dina.
So, it's a very adventurous activity, book distribution. You never know what's going to happen. There's always interesting things happening. on book distribution. I remember I was in the Los Angeles airport, and I was showing one man a book. And one lady came up, and she was just walking by, and she just happened to glance at the book, and then she came back, and she was just listening to my presentation. And then she took off again. She came back 5 minutes later, and she said, "You know, when I was walking by you, I saw that book and I heard your presentation. It's very interesting. I think I would like to have one." She gave a donation, took a book. I didn't even stop her. She just walked by and saw the book, and yeah, this is very interesting. Took it. So sometimes the books go out very quickly, very easily. There is one devotee who has the world record for distributing books in one day, 900 books in one day, individually, going to individual persons. Of course, he was giving stacks. No. Harinamananda. Harinamananda. These devotees are just like, completely absorbed. Of course, there was other devotees that did more in one day. They were going to factories. And one devotee distributed 3,000 books in one day. But now there's people in India that are doing so many books. There's one Mataji in India, Bombay, I think in Bombay, New Delhi also, did something like 13,000 Mahagitas for the month of December, something like that. Fired up. So we can also get fired up. Just have to pray and endeavor, be confident. So today also I was going to do some demonstration. Would you like to see some demonstration on how I distribute books? Is there a Bhagavad Gita in the bookcase there? Srila Prabhupada, he wrote in one letter, "It's all about the pictures." People are attracted to artwork. And therefore, in this letter, Prabhupada said, have as many pictures as you can in the book. And we also have that saying in the West, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So one picture says a lot. So I'll just do it from here. I'll just show you. So I'm going to show you all the pictures that I show when I distribute books. But I don't show all of them to every person, but I'll just tell you what I say about pictures that I do use occasionally. Now, we've all seen this picture thousands of times, changing bodies. But when a person sees this the first time, it's pretty amazing. So I tell them, you see this? We used to have a child's body. Eventually we have an old body. The soul is just cruising through. Cycle of life. People like that very much. And here I show them, this is the modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everybody is moved by these different modes of nature. Then I ask the person, which one are you under? I get them involved a little bit. You know, most of the time they say, probably passion, or some goodness. Yeah. A lot of times they say all of them, which is actually, that's all of us. Yeah. That's a good answer. So I get them involved a little bit. I ask them, so which one are you in? Goodness, passion, ignorance? I tell them, this is a wise person, the Brahmana. He sees within everyone the soul, therefore he has great respect for all different forms of life. And this is the one that people like the most. I tell them, this is an example of life. See, this is the horses represent the different senses, the sight, smelling, hearing, touching, and tasting. The reins is the mind, the driver is the intelligence, and the passenger is the soul saying, whoa, chill out, slow down, take it. You're getting reckless. Sometimes people like this picture so much, they buy the book just for this picture. And I was distributing books at a university one time, and a year after I had distributed a book to one student, he came to me a year later and said, you know that book you distributed to me, Bhagavad Gita? I cut out that picture of the horses and I pasted it on my wall next to my bed, so that when I wake up in the morning, I know this is the situation. This is how much they like this picture. It's a very amazing picture. And this here, I tell them, this. See this guy here? He's been there a while. Or if I ask the person before I show them the book, I ask them, so what are you, an engineer or doctor or businessman? So when I get to this one, I tell them, see this guy? He was an engineer. Yeah. It's good to crack a little joke or something. And they tell me, you've heard of karma. And see, the guy killed the cow. So now the cow is going back to the guy. People like this a lot.
Doesn't that scare some people off?
You know something? Some women, it's kind of scary. They're like, oh, you're a little scared. But very seldom. And even some girls say, oh, that's cool. Yeah. But only very rarely does a girl like get a little scared when they see this. But all the guys like it, yeah. I usually don't say this. This is a little scary, a lot of people kind of. I don't show this too much. So then I get to the Sanskrit and tell them, you see, this is originally written in Sanskrit. We suggest you read the English part because you might be a little rusty on the Sanskrit there. I kind of like that. And then I tell them, this is inspired by Gandhi, Emerson, and Thoreau, and it teaches the art of inner happiness, higher consciousness, inner peace. And we ask for a donation for the printing. And generally I tell them, yeah, it's like 10 to print. If you give any more, it's a donation. I'm a monk. So just to give them an idea. So that's pretty much how I distribute. Now we have other books. There's The Journey of Self-Discovery, which also has nice pictures in it. We have The Science of Self-Realization, and we have small books also that have pictures in it. So it just gives you a little idea. Now another thing is that one thing that devotees get hung up on a lot is how to stop them. How to stop them. It's difficult, especially if you're not experienced. But it's something that takes practice. There's the Krishna factor a lot. Like I mentioned earlier, that Krishna, upon seeing the sincere endeavor of the devotee, inspires the non-devotees from within to approach. See, so Krishna sees your sincerity, then he sends the sincere people, the nice people. But generally the way I stop people is the first thing I say is, excuse me. It's a nice, gentlemanly way to try to get someone's attention. Right? So I tell them, excuse me, I'm in California, where are you from? So there's a good thing about this question, is that a question, it has a hook on it. So it stops them. Not always, but most of the time. Then they say where they're from. And I say, well, here, check this out. And I hand them the book. Put it right in their hand. Let them feel the book. Then even if they don't take it, at least they touched it. Yeah. So then I show them the book. I hand it to them. Then I say, well, here, let me show you. I take it back. And then I show the book to them. There's other things that you can say to stop them. Excuse me, are you from here in Sydney? Or are you from out of town? That's also a very common thing that devotees say when they're trying to stop somebody. But mainly it's Krishna. Mainly it's Krishna. Therefore I say 95% of your ability to receive books is in your consciousness. You have to really pray to Krishna to try to be an instrument in his hands. They might ask, well, how to pray? What do you pray for? Please, Krishna, help me to distribute these books. Help me to understand that these people need these books. Give me sincerity. So many different prayers you can have. Yes, please.
Question, you know, we're distributing books and we're trying to be Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
So, you know, to be aware of Krishna every day. Like you said, not to be on the bodily platform. But sometimes I feel also it can be a bit of an evasion for the devotee, not, then we become maybe a little complacent, but not really trying to get in there and try to see what ticks those people. Because I mean, we can rely on Krishna, but at the same time, we have to do our part. And for example, if I see somebody who's walking down the street, and I may try to understand, okay, what is it into? What's this? You know, how do I stop such a person? How would I present the book to such a person? And then I become confused if it's all right to be engaged like that, or actually, is it productive or counterproductive? Like, as if you really want to get the message across when you preach in any kind of way, you have to understand where the people are coming from. And then we meet like a vast variety of people. And certain people, because they're closer to our own mindset or our own background as a karmic, then maybe easier. Hey, what's up, dude? Some other people, it's more difficult to understand, to connect their mentality to this book. And then I'm always a little, but if I get absorbed into these things, then I may think of Krishna less. You know, so that I'm a little confused if it's not just, okay, just think of Krishna, or if you have to get into
that's that. Also absorption in Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada said that Arjuna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he's fighting so many people. But he's also thinking of Krishna. So you could be doing so many things and at the same time thinking of Krishna. Prabhupada was thinking of so many ways on how to get this property in Bombay. So it was taxing his brain, but it was for Krishna. Prabhupada actually, he said that anxiety for Krishna is Krishna consciousness. It's like even Mother Yasoda, she's in anxiety. Krishna's going out into the forest, and she's in anxiety, and all this, so many demons were trying to kill Krishna. Imagine, you know, so many demons trying to kill Krishna. Then he goes out into the forest again. And so much anxiety is there. But it's Krishna anxiety. It's not material. So if you're thinking of how to present Krishna consciousness to this particular person, you know, what should I say? That's all in the realm of Krishna consciousness.
But is it defective? Or would you, like, in your journey in book distribution, do you realize that's really what makes a book distributor? Or sometimes we should just give up on all that and just approach everybody the same way? Or, you know, something. And just be trying to see that, you know, Krishna is just reading the books. Because sometimes I feel that if I do a lot of that, then I'm starting to think I'm a doer. But because I'm understood, because I said this, because... But
well,
at the same time, if I go the other way, then I feel like it's like I'm not doing anything and I want Krishna to do it.
But even with even in the way you're presenting the book to a certain person, in a particular way, where is the information coming from? That's also coming from Krishna. So we have to understand that, you know, whatever ability, whether you're doing it, you know, the same way with every person, or you're thinking of how to present this person, yeah, we have to understand that it's ultimately all coming from Krishna. And sometimes people, they inquire, you know, what's this about? So you can't engage every person the same way. Right? So then sometimes spend a little time with the person, they have some questions. And whatever we're speaking, we should also understand that's coming from Krishna. What can we give them? Right. Yes, Prabhu?
Prabhu, you know, when you, not only in book distribution, anything you do, you want to get inspired first yourself, right? So for that you need some results. Like
need some?
Results.
Results.
Yeah. So when you do book distribution, like, let's say you distribute 5 or 10 books, and then you get inspired. Okay, anything, but book distribution is a different story because the more you do, then you get expert in it. So how do you tend to go past that phase where, the beginning where you're not actually doing many books and you still keep your enthusiasm going? Because there you're actually dealing one-to-one, so there's many no's you've got to pass through.
Mm. Good question. Everybody here? Yeah? Yeah. So the question is you may be going out and you're having, you know, having a little difficult time getting the books out. And you want to distribute a lot of books. So how do you cross over that so that you can be a steady book distributor, right? Distribute a lot of books. Well, like I said, it's all about internal prayer. I'll tell you an example of this. There was one lady in Los Angeles. She was always very shy in her life. And then she joined. And the main emphasis at that time, early 70s, was book distribution. So everybody was distributing books. But she was just, it was terrifying for her to go out and distribute books, because she was very shy. But that was the emphasis. Everybody was going out. So she was going out too. She was not doing very many books. All the other ladies were doing many, many more books than her. But she was sincere. She kept going. She kept going. She was praying. And one day she just very fervently, very sincerely prayed to Krishna, "Please, Krishna, help me to become free of this shyness, that I can boldly preach, so I can boldly distribute these books." And the next day, she distributed so many books. And eventually she became the first lady in our Hare Krishna movement to distribute 100 big books in a day.
Is it Mother Gauri?
Gauri. Mother Gauri. Yeah. Unfortunately, she got cancer sometime later. Left her body in Vrindavan, where Bhagya got in. So here's an example of just what you're speaking about. She was minimal. Least amount of books were distributed by her amongst the devotees. But she was so sincere that Krishna reciprocated. So it's all about our internal desires. We have to be sincere. Pray to Krishna. Not easy to be sincere in Kali Yuga, right? But it's possible. Because the sincerity to serve Krishna, it's there. It's very much there. It just has to come out. And by this process of devotional service, it's coming out. And if you distribute books, Srila Prabhupada said, then you very quickly become recognized by Krishna. So we can't imagine how auspicious this activity is. Very auspicious. And mostly here in Sydney, you have household families, so you're working. But I have good news for you. I just got news today that Vaisheshika Prabhu in Silicon Valley, ISKCON of Silicon Valley, for the marathon they distributed 30,000 books, more than they've ever done before. And it's all householders. And generally they go, they have their monthly Sankirtan festival. Of course, during the marathon they go out, a lot of them go out every weekend during the marathon. So start this monthly Sankirtan festival and you'll see amazing things happen. Of course, they have a big advantage there. They have Vaisheshika Prabhu. But just see the result. Where there's some enthusiasm, amazing things happen.
I just wanted to ask, I imagine that you weigh your robes when you do.
Some do, some don't. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's an asset. I was just in Melbourne, and there were some devotees going around distributing books in dhoti and kurta, and some in non-devotee clothes. And the one that was most successful, actually he doubled everybody else, was wearing the dhoti. So it depends on the person. If you feel comfortable wearing the Vaishnava dress, then wear. And if you don't, then don't. It's an individual thing. You had a question, Prabhu? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Prabhu, I have a question. That when you did the demonstration, you know, feel the book for the person. So, what do you think that it's better way to explain something about the book so that person can inspire and read that book? Because while doing book distribution, I've seen people, when I try to approach them, they just say, "Oh, I got Bhagavad Gita, but I never read it." So that means they go to Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
We are doing book distribution,
but they are not ready, right? So what I mean, so that's why generally I tried, my tendency is always to, so that they can inspire, to try to explain. So how do you do that? I mean, do you do that, or which is the which one is the better, to inspire someone to read book or just to give a book?
Well, obviously it's best to try to inspire them to read the book. One thing that I've been saying lately is I tell them, this book may be the most difficult book that you'll ever read. Maybe very difficult to read. But if you read it all the way through, what you'll find is you'll get more out of this book than any other book that you've read. This is what people have found. So say you could say something like that to inspire them, because it is, it's a difficult read. But you get the positive note. But if you finish this whole book, you'll get more out of this book than any book that you'll ever read.
Combined.
Yeah. So that's something you can say. Or you can think of other things. That's one thing I've thought of saying. And I tell people that now. But yeah, it's Kali Yuga. People are interested in sense gratification. You know, people, you know, and if people come here to forget God and they get the Bhagavad Gita, it's all about God. So, that's another obstacle.
How do you do science of self-realization?
But there's very nice pictures, again, also, in there. There's the Brahmana in there, in that book.
See, so, from pictures, do you just do one picture?
Well, the science of self-realization is a pretty, it's a good sale on its own. Just that science of self-realization. People like science, yeah. The science-minded society now. And also people are, you know, interested in spiritual things. So it's a very attractive cover, science of self-realization. And I usually tell me it teaches the art of inner happiness, higher consciousness, inner peace. You can say different things. You can open up to the chapters, and you could show the chapters and speak a little bit about the chapters. So there's different things like that. But it's very important that we're also personal with people. We're very kind to people. See, sometimes we get attached to the results, and we get attached and aggravated and angry sometimes. People aren't doing what I want them to do, you know. So.
That's my next question. Sometimes, you know, you get attached to the result, oh, I'm doing good to you. So how do you define that line that sometimes people come in passion, they want to give their book, and they'll go out of the way to give the book. Pressure, people. I've seen that people,
yeah.
People pressuring, and you know, you get the Bhagavad Gita, they'll use some sentimental.
It's all right to be attached to them, to the result of them getting the book. We want them to take a book. We want, right? But at the same time, we have to be detached, understanding Krishna's in control. So these two are a very good combination. We want them to take a book very much. But we have to also be patient. Know that Krishna's in control. Without Krishna's sanction, nobody will take the book. And therefore there's a verse that I chant quite often on book distribution. Sometimes I chant it like japa. Upadrishtana mantasya bharta bhokta maheshwara parma meti chapyakyon dehesvin purushapara. Krishna says in the Gita that within this body, there's another transcendental enjoyer. He's the Lord, he's the supreme proprietor, and he's the overseer and the permitter. So he's the overseer, he's there. He's seeing everything. Of course, he's everywhere, but he's there especially. Because there's that statement that I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the hearts of the yogi, I'm wherever my devotees are spreading my glories. So he's especially there. And he's the sanctioner. He's the overseer, and he's the sanctioner. Nothing happens without the sanction of Krishna. We have to get that in our head. Yeah. To be attached to them taking a book, that's okay. That's very healthy. But at the same time, you're reserved, you're patient, because they cannot possibly take a book without the sanction of Krishna. We have to just try our best. And hope, and you know, just try our best.
The nose also are easier to take if you see it like Krishna's.
Say that again.
The nose, I feel, the nose, you know, people don't want to do
it. Oh, nose, yes, okay.
Yeah, the nose are easier to take. I mean, I feel if I'm aware that, if I can remember that Krishna said no, instead of thinking, oh, this guy said no, and that guy said no, and they're all going to say no, because they're all in mind. But if you start seeing, you know, this guy said no, this guy said no, that guy said no, when you say Krishna said no, this guy, Krishna said no, this guy, Krishna said no, this guy, because I'm in Maya.
Krishna's saying, nope, you're in Maya, sorry, nope, nope, not yet, nope.
Yeah, yeah, and then it kind of like, it cranks you up instead of cranking you down.
Right,
instead
right.
Of pushing you down, cranks
you're
you
seeing
up,
a message, you, like a message from Krishna, right?
Yeah, yeah, and you see that Krishna said no, therefore Krishna could say yes because he wants to say yes.
Yeah.
Well, you start thinking that all those people are saying no because they want to say no, and then they'll never want anything else in
yeah.
Maya anyway. And
yeah.
Going to that,
very good, thank you.
I have another question. You know, it seems like sometimes we have to tiptoe a lot around Krishna. You know, like this book is about meditation, or inner happiness, or you know, all those things. It's like we're tiptoeing around Krishna. I mean, to my knowledge, you know, how much of that is useful and how much of that is actually detrimental? You know, like, you know, we could go out and just say, you know, this is a book about Krishna. This is everything you need to know about Krishna. And he's the Supreme Personality of God. But I know, so far I've never met a devotee who's just reading books like that. I'm sure there must be. But,
I don't, I've never heard anybody either.
No, but like, it's like,
but I do know of devotees that they, the first thing they say when they approach people is, Hare Krishna. And then they stop. So, but.
Because somebody was telling me also that he felt, because he's been preaching for like 30 years, I mean, Vedavyasa Prabhu in Vancouver, I mean, he's in Montreal. He's saying that before, people were more ready to hear about, you know, self-realization, yoga, meditation. But he felt a shift with the years progressing in the new age kind of falling apart, and you know that actually people now they're ready to hear your pitch, you know, like this is about God. Okay, what's your pitch on the subject? He said that he felt he didn't have to tiptoe so much about this. Like 20 years ago God was like taboo, you know, you had to say meditation, God meant religion, God, that was taboo, you had to go.
But now he's finding it's okay.
Yeah, he's found that people are more willing to go straight to the point.
Mm.
You know, that this is religion, right. Because they so
like
to hear your comment about all this, should we tiptoe and how much, and you know, is it useful?
Well, again, that's an individual thing. Of course, the more we tell them about Krishna, the more advantageous that is. They really know what they're getting. Sometimes it's a little unclear what they're getting. So, but then there's the other thing that there's so many different religions, and then there's atheists, so it really opens up the can of worms, you know, when you say this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know. Because they have their beliefs, you know, then they start thinking, oh, no, I have my beliefs.
Yeah, but then it's the guy saying no or yes, but it's Krishna saying no or
yes. Yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, that
it's
might be.
That's their independent saying. It's not Krishna's.
No, but what he's saying is that a devotee can take it that way, that because of my insincerity, Krishna's having him say no. So he's saying, just, you can take it like that.
Yesterday we said, oh, he's not ready yet. Right? So
yeah.
You hear sometimes no. So that's his independence. Independent.
That's another way to see it. There's different ways you can see it.
But still, Krishna can flick his switch anytime he likes.
He can change it, yeah. Even though they don't want a book, Krishna wants him to take a book,
yeah.
He takes a book.
He's not the one making the decision. He's just praying for Krishna that I don't want this book, and then Krishna is saying soon. But if the devotee's enthusiasm to present Krishna is higher than his enthusiasm to be in Maya, then the devotee wins. But so therefore, I was just thinking that if Krishna wants, you know, to that we want to present him directly, because Prabhupada was pretty upfront, and he was in a time when they hadn't heard anything about.
Of course, Prabhupada is Prabhupada.
But isn't that the element that makes a Prabhupada Prabhupada?
That's right.
That
that's
not,
right.
Not, they have full faith,
that
and, you know, they can present Krishna.
Conviction, boldness, yeah, sure. Also, yeah.
So, what's your comment of tiptoe?
Yeah, yeah. If we
tiptoe because our faith is not there yet?
Yeah, that could be there. Yeah.
Or is it wise statement?
Of course, yeah. That could be there. Judged by the results, you know, we want a lot of the books to go out. Maybe less books will go out. Maybe that's, there's like a fear that maybe less books will go out.
And I have another question is regarding door to door. Devotees, I've heard from devotees, I've never read it directly from Prabhupada, but that was Prabhupada with favor as being the best way of distributing books. And also, I don't know who was telling me, but they said that the fastest growing religion on the planet are those who are good, what we call like the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, they're fast.
The guys who go door to door are the fastest growing religion. So I wanted to have your thoughts on this, because I spoke to book distributors who are very attached to distributing the house, because they go further than just getting the guy to buy the book. You developing a relationship, you know where they are, then you come back and then you try to install a certain bio time, and when you're making a devotee, you're getting the book into the guy into a process of reading, and you have more time to preach what the book is actually about, because they're in their house, they're relaxed, it's not like a, you know, a 3-minute dealing on the street.
Prabhupada actually wrote, or no, actually when the one devotee looked in the Veda base, 90 times Prabhupada wrote in the books, door to door, door to door. So he was very much, he liked the door to door.
Because then you know where your clients are.
Yeah.
He was a nice boy.
Yeah, I've done book distribution here in Australia, door to door. In Brisbane, I was distributing books just right near the temple, the house just behind the temple. The lady was so enthusiastic, she gave a nice donation. Yeah, and then a lady just three doors in front of the Brisbane temple, she was a professor, she said, oh yeah, I teach, and so many, there's Hindu friends, they told me about Bhagavad Gita, yeah, I'd like to have one, they gave a nice donation, just right near the temple. You'd probably be amazed how many people take books right here, just near their neighborhood, yeah. Although we've been here for years, you know, nobody ever approaches it. So door to door is great, I've done quite a bit of door to door, very nice. You've done it around here?
No, I never did.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
Well, I did door to door. We used to go to a staff house in this KST slopes.
Yeah, door to door is very nice.
University dorms.
You see, when you go to the city and you're trying to stop people, it can be pretty hard to stop. But when you go door to door, they're right there. They're coming to you. They're opening the door and talk to them.
They had a bit of books, so he decided out. He had always this desire to start doing door to door because he's read so many times. He decided to go door to door in Winnipeg. And he went in, you know, Dhoti, Tilak, and Safran, and everything. And he told me it took him 2 weeks to go from one corner of the street to the next corner on one side of the street. Took him 2 weeks because everybody was like, oh, come sit here. If you want a coffee? I mean, people were just like, just so happy to see a monk coming to their doorstep, and then they start telling, you know, I had a dream, or my father died, or this happened, and what's the meaning of this, and they started, you know, it's like everybody was just like, you know, and he was saying that we think nobody wants us out there, but he was experiencing the exact opposite. He said, man, we need peg, we call it the peg, you know, it's like, you can't have more middle of the road than the peg, it's the middle of Canada, there's nothing happening there. City in the middle of the prairies, you know, it's the most boring city on the planet.
You know what Prabhupada once said? Prabhupada once said, in the beginning, they'll laugh at us. Then they'll hate us, and then they'll love us. So I think we're coming to that last stage, you know. Because people like us, yeah.
And Prabhupada made a comment also, people are looking in the window of their house thinking, when will Gaur Nitai come to save me? You know, when people look at the window and they don't really know what they're looking at, the Prabhupada said that
the Sankirtan devotees. And that reminds us that we're going out tomorrow. Haribo! Everybody going out? Thursday. They said Thursday is the best time because of shopping, more shopping.
Okay, so we're going tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Thursday. So, everybody's fired up now, I hope. Yeah? Who's going out tomorrow? Book distribution. Yeah? Come on! You can come. Actually, if you want, you don't even have to... Huh?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. Okay, take it slow. If you want, you can just come out and watch, just to get an idea. That's a, if you don't want to distribute books, you can also just come out and watch the devotees. Just to get an idea of what it's like. With no intention of distributing, just go out.
Not
see what it's like.
Cheerleader.
Yeah, you can be cheerleader. Hey, all right, well, you distribute a book. Yeah. Now, some of you may be going on book distribution right from your workplace. So we were discussing, maybe get the books tonight. Is that possible? If someone wants to distribute books tomorrow, you're in charge. So if you want to get books tonight, then you don't have to come back here, waste time getting books and then going. Now, where are we going to distribute?
City,
yeah, a lot of people around there. And
so,
you can come and you can work with devotees, a little experience.
I think Town Hall could be a good meeting point.
Town Hall, the Pitt Street and around Pitt Street.
No, but as a meeting point, because people
meeting
may
point.
Be coming at different times. And
Town Hall, meeting there? At what?
Yeah,
yeah,
the meeting place could be the Town Hall on the George Street. That's a big Woolworths.
Uh-huh.
So
mm-hmm.
That's a prime location. So
okay. So we can meet there. You can go there. You can go and start distributing whenever you want. But we'll meet at what time?
6:30.
Meet at 6:30. But you can start at 5:30 or 5 o'clock and just meet at 6:30 there. From 6:30 till? Distribute till?
Till sun is around like 8:30.
Just to get an idea. If you're fired up, you can stay longer also. We don't want to limit you.
Because the Harinam team is also close out on Thursday night, so we can...
Uh-huh.
That would be too complicated if people want to learn to distribute books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they will purify the place.
Yeah, they'll purify them. So this is very good. So this is the, what is this? This is the second, this would be the second Thursday of the month? Or is it better to go on Saturday? Is it better to distribute on Saturday?
You can
do both. No, I mean, you can't do it this time. I mean, you can, but... I'm unfortunately my plans didn't work out, but it might be better to have it on Saturday because it's your day off.
Yeah.
So in the future, have it the first Saturday of every month, monthly Sankirtan festival. That sound good?
Yeah. The weekend warrior.
Weekend warrior, of course. And if someone's real fired, they can do it every weekend. But this is just strictly once a month. You know, get as many people as you can. On book distribution. Have a Friday night Harinam and the next, maybe this is how Vaisheshika does it. They have Friday night Harinam and they distribute books also. Next day, everybody goes out on book distribution. You know, they have a nice morning program and then they discuss book distribution and then they go out and distribute. It's a great success. So, and also, if anybody wants to be added to the book distribution nectar, I have a book distribution newsletter in which I send out a lot of stories and quotes from Srila Prabhupada. You're on? You're on? You're on? You're on? Book distributor? You're not on? I can't believe it. So I'm going to... I'll put my email up here right now. You have a... and then if anybody wants to be added, then you can just... write me and just ask me to be added. Ask me to add you to the here. Just erase this here. Is this here? Yeah, just that. Because that's yeah, today's. So here you go. Yeah. Pam Ho. There's about maybe 900 devotees around the world that are getting this newsletter, and people really appreciate it. It's good. You'll like it. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.